Good morning, family. If you're turning your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 8, the scripture we just heard from. I know you've all probably heard this parable quite a bit growing up, if you were raised in the church at least, and maybe a few times even if you became a Christian later in life. It is a very important parable for us as Christians because it has a lot of meaning to it. And if you've heard the parable before, you'll probably realize the meaning behind it as Jesus explains later on in this same chapter. The soil is us. A lot of people think, oh, we're the sower of the seeds, but actually, we're actually the soil. As Derek Mishaney pointed out in the young adults class last week, I almost had to change my entire sermon, but luckily he didn't get too deep into it. But I'd like us to take a moment just to think, just to kind of meditate a little bit here, and think about which soil best represents your relationship with your faith right now. I think it's important because at many points in our lives, we'll most likely be each different soil. Because we know from Jesus explaining it later in this chapter that the weeds represent the worries in life. All the things that make us think, oh, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to make it? And then we also sometimes lack the water we need, the nutrients. But then there are times when we're the good soil, we have everything we need, we're not worrying about anything. So, this is going to be more about how we can maintain ourselves as the good soil. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. It says, "Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ." And in verse 16, "from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." So our main goal as Christians is to be like Christ. And in doing that, we got to first make sure we get rid of the weeds, all those worries in our life. So let's look into that real quick. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 30. "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they are? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And in verse 31, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is something that, like, sparked this whole thought process this week in my mind. I kept thinking about all the things that we as Americans have in our lives. And I kind of have a unique perspective, having lived in a third world country for a couple of years, having to go without running water. Like, that was one of the most difficult things, realizing that we're so spoiled here, and we don't even realize it. A lot of the times, we even fall into the culture of materialism that permeates our society. The, we need this, we need that. When, in reality, we don't really need those things, right? There are a lot of things that we have that are totally unnecessary. I don't know how many times I've gone through my closet and said, why do I have this? I never wear this. I never use this. Why did I buy it? I've cleaned out my closet at least 5-10 times since I moved back to the States. It really is like, it surprised me how much I had clung to meaningless things. And I think that it can be a little distracting to us as Christians to really fall into that culture of materialism. And that's probably one of the things that adds to our anxiety, our worries. Because we're always worried about, okay, we need to have the next thing. When really we don't. Anyway, it's just something I had been thinking about this week, one of the many things. Also, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Of course, not everything is materialism, right? There are things that we genuinely worry about that do have importance, such as our future, for those of us still looking forward to long life, for people my age, can be a big, big worry in our lives, too. Especially if you don't know what you're going to be doing with your life. But we need to turn those things over to God. Because, why not? He loves us. He cares about us. He cares about our future. And if we don't turn that over to him, are we really trusting him? We also need to throw away all of the old habits that we had before we turned to Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 and 5 through 8. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. And in verse 9, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. There are many things we have to get rid of, right, to be like Christ. How we get rid of the weeds. There's a lot more, but for sake of time, I tried to put the most important points in there. Now, if you go to Psalm chapter 1 with me, Psalm 1, verses 1 through 4. So the second kind of soil that we as a family need to be consciously trying to be better with is also the rocky soil, where we have no nutrients. We're not getting the water we need. And that made me immediately think of Psalm 1. And if you've heard me preach before, you've probably heard my sermon about being in the Word. And this is the scripture I use there too. And it's important to me anyway. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away." How much time do we spend actually studying God's Word? Meditating on it, thinking about what does it mean, how does this relate to my life now? I know I'm guilty of putting off my daily studies, and I don't know how many times I've done that. When I was in AIM, they told me, one of my teachers said that it was the easiest discipline to neglect. And I thought, why is that? Why is it so easy to neglect reading our God's Word? Really trying to understand what He wants from us. If He's really our God, why wouldn't we want to hear from Him? His words are right in front of us. And nowadays, it's just in our pockets, 24/7, with our phones. We can have it like that. And not only God's Word, but all sorts of study tools. But do we use them? It's important, because if we don't spend time in God's Word, using this psalm as an illustration, if we're that tree and God's Word is the stream, if we don't plant ourselves near the stream, are we getting the water we need? So the further away we are from that stream, the less water we're getting, right? Makes sense scientifically, right? But we need to be spending more time in God's Word. This second important point about this type of soil is that when it's not watered, it's dry. And in the parable, it says, when the sun comes out, it kills the plant. And from Jesus' explanation in Luke chapter 8, that sun is the trials and tribulations, so to speak, that we face in life. The tests, the different troubles we face that really test our faith. And if we're not getting the water we need, we'll fall away. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So, we don't really need to be afraid of facing trials in our lives if we're watered, right? If we have that practice, if we've been spending time in God's Word, we don't have anything to worry about, because those trials will make us better. In order to be the good soil, we must be prepared. And we must have the nutrients we need. God has already given us the seed, and it's up to us to make sure that that seed is getting everything it needs to grow. Once we have addressed ourselves individually, then we can help the church to grow. And back in Colossians 3, verses 9 through 17. We'll start in verse 12, since I already read through verse 11. "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." If we are feeding ourselves spiritually, we will be better equipped to help our brothers and sisters in Christ when they need us. In order to grow, we need to be more meditative in our studies. Get rid of the worries in our life. Give everything to God. And after all of that, we will be more equipped to do God's work. Thank you.
At this moment, we'll stand and sing "Faith is the Victory." We'll also have a contact elder down here. If you need anything, talk about today or pray about today or address the congregation with. And if that's too public for you, down the hall we also have a couple elders in the, I forget what we call that room, down the hall on the left, if you need to talk to them a little more privately.
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in vales below, let all your strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner o'er us, thus is love, his sword, the word of God. We tread the road, the saints above, with shouts of trumpet trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath, swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquer death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all girt abound. The earth shall tremble 'neath our tread, and echo with our shout. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confess in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.